Partakers by the Gospel is the title of this one. Here we go. Here's Brother Moore.
And I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 3? Appreciate you watching. This morning we're going to continue our study pertaining to rightly dividing the word of truth, pertaining to things that differ and stuff like that. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice in verse 1, the Bible said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward, how that by revelation it made known unto me the mystery." Come down to verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What is the mystery? Verse 6. "That the Gentiles," people like us, people like you and me, Gentiles, world around, has nothing to do with their moral character, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." The emphasis being by the gospel. How can you be a fellow heir with the Apostle Paul? How can you be a fellow heir and in the same body with Paul and Silas and Timothy and whatever? How can you be partakers with them? By the gospel. There is no other way. You can't do it by keeping the law. It's by the gospel. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. By your faith in that gospel, not just believing some words, but believing in the event of that good news. That is, that a man, Christ Jesus, went to Calvary. A man, Christ Jesus, took the cross. He was nailed there. And he was made to be sin for us. The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19 that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. When you come to the full realization that Jesus Christ took your sins away, that Jesus Christ was judged for you, suffered, bled, died for you, you come to that realization and you put your total confidence in that truth, God Almighty will save you and place you in a body of believers. The Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, all those old saints back there, they're in that body, and we become equal with them in that body by the gospel. In other words, we are made one in Christ by the cross, and the gospel pertains to the cross. No cross, no entry into the body. Now, in Ephesians 3, verse 7, a reference to the gospel, "whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Unsearchable. Why is it unsearchable? Because you can't trace it out back there in the Old Testament. Hold on to Ephesians and turn to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, notice the reference. In Romans 11, notice that he's talking about the fall of Israel, salvation to the Gentiles through their fall. In other words, we don't come to the Lord through the ministry of Israel. We don't come to the Lord through their rise. We come to the Lord through their fall, in spite of them, with no help from Israel, but through the gospel of Christ, we have access to God. All right, in Romans 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God without repentance for is you, you Gentiles. In times past back here, you Gentiles in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. In other words, you were not made one with Paul or Silas or whatever by their ministry. It's by their unbelief. It's by their rejection of Christ that you have mercy. Verse 31, even so of these, the Israelites, also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. In other words, we preach the gospel to them, that they may obtain mercy. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Then God is not dealing with Israel as a nation today. All this business about sending money to Israel and helping Israel as a nation, and God is going to bless you if you help them, and on and on and on. That's all nonsense today. There isn't anything to that. They're in unbelief today, and there is no difference. They're no different than anybody else today. They have to get saved just like you have to get saved. They have to come to God just like you have to come to God. They can no more come to God by the Mosaic law than you can. And all this business about the holidays that they have and where they assemble together and they blow the ram's horn and they have their meetings and they renew their confidence in the law and they repent on the basis of the law, that's nothing. It amounts to nothing. They buy Jesus Christ. They must believe the gospel in this age. They are all reckoned in unbelief in this age. You say, but they believe in God and they're keeping the law. God reckoned them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. They're in a state of unbelief unless they believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You cannot get to God. You cannot be blessed of God if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God. What must you believe? That Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that God raised him from the dead. All right, in Romans 11, verse 31, even so of these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may also obtain mercy. Verse 32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, God's ways of doing things in this age cannot be found out back there. Why? Because this was a secret. This was kept a secret. It was kept a mystery. It was that which God ordained before the foundation of the world unto our glory, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, kept a mystery, and you can't trace it out back there. You can't trace it out in Genesis through Mark, Luke, and John. Why? Because it isn't there. It is not a part of God's prophetic program. Go back to Ephesians 3 again. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, Paul says, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Then that which Paul preached to the Gentiles is unsearchable. Now think with me a moment. It is not unsearchable that God Almighty would save Gentiles. In the millennium, after Christ comes again, after Christ sets up the kingdom, then Israel will be saved. And Israel as a nation will go unto the Gentiles. And Gentiles will be saved in the kingdom. And the Old Testament prophets prophesied of that. They prophesied that God would send them unto the Gentiles. And that they would, the Gentiles would, throughout to the isles would be saved and so forth. But that cannot be this. Things that are different are never the same. God's ways here cannot be traced out. They are unsearchable. You cannot trace them out in the Old Testament Scriptures. If you can, then the Scripture is untrue. We live in a time that was a mystery. We live in a time, a dispensation that was a mystery. The gospel that we believe was a mystery. Say, but Peter, James, and John preached it. Never did. They didn't know anything about it. It was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Paul calls it my gospel in Romans chapter 2, verse 16. He calls it my gospel in Romans 16, 25. He calls it my gospel in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. If Paul calls it my gospel, and if Paul is inspired by the Holy Spirit to write it down, then it's Paul's gospel. And if John ever knew it, John learned it from the Apostle Paul. Why? Because it's Paul's gospel. If God gave it to Paul so that Paul writes it down and says it's my gospel, then God wouldn't reveal it unto another apostle except through the one that he had given it unto. And it's unsearchable riches. It can't be traced out in the Old Testament scriptures. It cannot be traced out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was a mystery hid in God from before the foundation of the world, according to the context we're reading. Now, notice in verse 9, Paul was given the privilege to make all men see, all men without distinction, all men without distinction of race, creed, color, all men, no difference, all men without distinction of moral character, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery we're talking about here. To make all men, not just saved men, all men. If you're not saved, God wants you to see this mystery. Why? That Jesus Christ died for your sins just like he died for mine. Understand something. God wants every lost individual in the sound of my voice, in this area, anywhere. God wants every individual to hear about a mystery that Jesus Christ died for you. It has nothing to do with you repenting of your sins and making yourself presentable unto God so that Christ will have died for you. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with you changing your moral character so that you can have favor with God, so that after you have favor with God, you can believe the gospel. None of that is true. There is a mystery in this Bible. That mystery pertains to the gospel. That gospel is that Jesus Christ died for all men. That gospel is that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. You're included. Say, but Brother Moore, you just don't understand what a bad person I am. I don't care what a bad person you are. I'm concerned with the fact that God Almighty gave His Son at Calvary to die for you, and Jesus Christ had you in His mind when He went to Calvary. Jesus Christ took your sins upon Himself, and Jesus Christ suffered for your sins at Calvary so that by your faith in what Jesus Christ accomplished there, God could save your soul. That's the mystery we're talking about. It wasn't revealed to Peter. He didn't know anything about it. Peter believed that those that feared God and worked righteousness was acceptable to God. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about all men. Hold on to Ephesians and turn, please, to Timothy. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. I wanted to bring out the fact that it's God our Savior that is referred to. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. All men without distinction of race, creed. All men. Doesn't make any difference who they are. All men without moral character. Who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. All men without exception. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm testifying to you in due time that Jesus Christ died for you. I'm testifying to you that there isn't anything you can do to fix it so that that which already took place will take place. You can get on your face and pray and shed a river of tears, but it won't make come to happen what already came to pass. What already came to pass? Christ died for your sins. By you getting down and praying that Christ died for your sins won't make it be true when it's already true. By you repenting and laying your tobacco on the altar of sacrifice, laying your alcohol on the altar of sacrifice, giving up your dance and playing cards and dominoes or whatever it might be, all that won't bring to pass what already came to pass. What came to pass? Jesus Christ died for all men. There is one mediator between God and men. That mediator is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now go back to Ephesians 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, on and on and on. You can be saved. Say, but Brother Moore, I was out drunk last night. You can be saved. Say, but Brother Moore, I've been living in adultery. You can be saved. There is one mediator between you and God, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for you to be testified. God will save you if you'll trust Christ as your Savior. It's already been fixed. The work has already been done. Preparation is already made. There's no preparing for this. You don't have to prepare yourself for this. You just receive it. You just claim it. You receive the truth. What? That Jesus Christ died for your sins. He paid for all your sins. Jesus Christ died in A.D. 33. When he died, your life was in the future. Your complete life from the day you're born until the day you'll die, all of it was in the future. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. You're included. So therefore, your whole life, all the sins that you could ever commit, were placed upon Christ and He became your sin. And God judged your sin at Calvary. Christ paid for them. Now you need a Savior. Claim Christ as your Savior and God Almighty will save you. Everything will be different. There is no need for me to tell you that God loves you and I love you. There is no need for me to shed crocodile tears with a silly grin on my face and trying to tell you how I love you. My loving you won't get you out of this world into the next. My loving you won't save your never dying soul. I could put my arms around your neck and hug you and love you and kiss you on the cheek and all that stuff. Snivel and cry and wipe the tears away. Distort my face. I could do all that, but I won't get you saved. I want you to see that Christ loved you. Jesus Christ gave himself for you. Jesus Christ died for you. The preacher never died for you. Christ died for you. He paid for your sins. The preacher never paid for your sins. You're not doing me a favor. You're not going to accomplish anything for me if you trust Christ. It has nothing to do with my love for you. I'm not asking you for anything. Christ gave himself for you. God loved you, gave Jesus Christ. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. You've been reconciled to God in the sense that God is friendly with you today. God is friendly with you today in that you can come to God through Jesus Christ. There was a time in the past you couldn't do that. There was a time back there the only way that you could have gotten to God was to turn your whole life around, joined in with Israel and become a part of their economy and kept the law and on. That'd be the only way you could have got to God. You can get to God today by believing the gospel. What? That Christ died for your sins and that he was buried and that he rose again. How simple can it be? People say, well, it's too simple. But that's what the Bible is saying. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, you don't need to go into some baptismal pool to get to heaven. All that business about if you'll repent of your sins and be baptized and believe in the Lord and keep the commandments and hold out to the end, God will receive you into heaven sometime in the future, or you'll be saved in heaven someday and on and on. No, no, no. That's not the way it works. You could repent of your sin and be baptized and keep the commandments and go to hell. People are always talking about falling from grace. You know the people that fall from grace according to Galatians chapter 5? Those that trust Christ, they're saved, and then go back under the law. They're falling from grace. Falling from grace is not getting saved and then committing some sin. People always point out the sins of adultery and drunkenness and stuff like that. They just sort of pass over the sin of hatred and malice and envy and jealousy that goes on in the assemblies today. What assembly is there today that doesn't have hatred and jealousy in it? Why, so many of the larger assemblies today are divided into factions. Sometimes it's over a piano. Sometimes it's over the color of the carpets. Sometimes it's over the type of pews they use. Arguments go on in assemblies and people get mad at one another and they're ready to choke one another to death. Oh, they don't smoke, drink, or play cards. They don't go to the movies. All these people, they don't gamble, get drunk. They point that out in other people. They point out adultery and drunkenness and whatever. And yet, they're sinners just like everybody else. So what is the issue here? The issue is that Jesus Christ died for your sins just like he died for mine. The issue is that salvation is free to you just like it's free to me. The issue is that God might save you if you'll trust Christ just like he saved me by me trusting Christ. The issue is that you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to sit down. You don't have to kneel down. You don't have to pray anything or say anything. Everything has been done that needs to be done to save you. You must trust Christ as your Savior. Right where you are, God will save you. Because he's already made preparation for your salvation. He's already fixed that. He ain't got to do anything today to get you saved. He did it at Calvary. God delivered up his Son for us all. God rejected his Son. Jesus Christ at Calvary said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because your sins were placed upon him and he became your sin. And so God turned his back upon your sin then. So that by your reception of Christ today, God can receive you. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, the Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. In other words, the love of Christ draws us together. It's not our love. It's his love that draws us together. When we see his love, the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We were all dead in trespass and sin. Hold on that. And turn to Ephesians again. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, the Bible said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the disobedience, on and on and on. All lost people, all unsaved, are dead in trespasses and sins. How dead can a person be before they're dead? Why, Jesus, the Bible gives an illustration. There's a young girl in this Bible. She's the son of a man named Darius. She's sick and she died. Jesus Christ is asked to go there, and he gets there and she's dead. There she is. She's laying out on the bed. She's just 12 years old. When you walked in and saw that girl, you might not even know she's dead. The result of death probably is not even showing in her yet. She's laying there on the bed. She just looks like she's asleep. You couldn't tell by looking at her that she's dead. And Jesus Christ walks over, takes her by the hand, and raises her from the dead. She's a type of those people today that are dead in trespasses and sin, but they look like good people. They look like they're alive in Christ. They're doing a lot of good deeds and a lot of good work and everything, but they're just dead in Christ, dead in trespasses and sin. Then there's a boy called the boy of Nain, a young man of Nain. He's dead. He's ready for burial. You could see him. You know he's dead. But you know, he ain't any deader than the little girl. He's been prepared for burial. And so Jesus Christ walks by the casket, takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and said, I say unto thee, arise. And he comes to life. He's a type of that person today that's just mediocre. You know, not too bad, not too good either. Just dead in trespasses and sin. And then there's old Lazarus. Lazarus died, was put in the tomb. He'd been in there for 4 days. And Jesus Christ comes and said, roll the tomb away. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And old Lazarus came out of there. Lazarus is the type of that sinner today who's rotten to the core. I mean, he manifests his sin everywhere he goes. But you know, Lazarus ain't no deader than the little girl. They're all dead the same. All lost people are dead in trespasses and sin. Your sins may look worse than somebody else's, but they're not any worse. Dead is dead. Going to hell is going to hell. Lost is lost. But Jesus Christ fixed it all. You can be saved. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if he died for all were dead, and that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him. Will you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior right now where you are? You don't have to go anywhere. Just right where you are, believe. Claim the salvation is free to you. Claim the fact that Christ died for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.